Libyan fighting today could affect what you pay for gas tomorrow.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. It's been a real battle for control of Libyan oil strongholds since opposition forces have tried to overthrow Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. Rebel forces have taken control of a number of oil export terminals in the east near Benghazi, but government fighters are trying to retake control. We tell you this because what happens in those places is having a big impact on the price of oil and gas. Libya is a big oil producer. Samuel Chisuk is senior analyst for consulting firm IHS Energy, and he's with us from London. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So we've gotten these reports that pro-government forces are attacking key oil cities in Libya. What's that going to do to the market?
It's going to continue, obviously, to rattle the market. For now, I think, you know, Libyan production is pretty much discounted. However, if we actually see fighting about upstream and downstream installations, and then, you know, obviously potential damage to them, we are starting to talk about long-term impacts.
A senior official there in Libya at the state oil company said that the country is going to continue to get paid, even if it gets hit with sanctions from around the world. How's that going to work?
Firstly, we need to take everything that comes from the upper echelons of the old regime with a big pinch of salt. But, you know, at the same time, there's no facilities for the financial transactions to take place for opposition-controlled exports. Everything is still sort of flowing into accounts held effectively by the old government. And some of this oil has already been sold on a term contract to oil companies. So if suddenly opposition forces start to sell the same oil to other ones, there might be legal problems between oil companies in the West.
Are we guaranteed, assuming that opposition forces do take the reins in Libya, that things will settle down?
No, I think, unfortunately, there's no guarantees at all, and this is what makes it very unpredictable.
Samuel Chisuk, senior energy analyst for IHS Energy in London. Samuel, thank you.
Thank you.
It's being billed as the greenest car show ever. The Geneva Auto Show in Switzerland even features an electric Rolls-Royce concept car. Other car makers have debuted electric and hybrid models as well, but a senior Ford executive says, don't get carried away. There's not going to be an electric car craze anytime soon. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Ford's chief financial officer says don't expect a big surge in electric car sales. These vehicles are still very expensive. Even with government subsidies, they can cost double what a regular vehicle costs. And he says those subsidies must be in doubt as Western governments struggle to cut their spending. The Ford executive warns that electric cars may remain a plaything of the rich. Professor David Bailey of Coventry University agrees that we're not on the threshold of an electric revolution.
It's still coming, but it's going to be slow. And I think we'll also see very big improvements in gasoline engines, which will get their costs down as well. So consumers may well stick with that technology.
He says the brightest future for electric vehicles may be in China, where government and manufacturers are pouring billions into the new technology. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are much lower at the moment. In Asia, the Nikkei tumbled 2.5%. Homebuilder Hovnanian Enterprises said it returned to a loss in its fiscal first quarter. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 168 points to close at 12,058.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. By Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
It was a Scottish deerhound, a hunting dog, which won the Westminster Dog Show a couple of weeks ago. But the popularity of herding dogs has come a long way in recent years as well. We're talking canines such as Australian Shepherds. So some sheep farms now let dog owners rent time with their flocks so the herding dogs can do what they do best. Ann Dornfield reports from Olympia, Washington.
Right there, lie down. Hey.
On this chilly Saturday, half a dozen city dwellers are lined up with their dogs along a muddy field. The dogs are waiting for their turn to chase a flock of sheep into a tiny pen.
No, lie down.
Sylvia Griggs is the facilities manager at Fido's farm, an 80-acre spread with hundreds of sheep. It's been in operation for 7 years. Grigg says business is booming thanks to the growing popularity of herding dogs as pets.
A large base is mainly Australian Shepherds. People have no clue how active those dogs really are. They're not designed as a pet. The dogs were bred to work, to have a job, and they don't do well if they don't have some type of outlet.
When herding dogs don't have an opportunity to round up livestock, they devote that extra energy to nipping at your kids' heels as they ride their bikes or chewing up the house. Greta Zerker knows firsthand. She's here with her young border collie, Tess.
She destroyed some Oriental carpets, every single one. She chewed the edges. I ended up duct taping them to the floor to keep her from chewing them.
How much were those worth?
About $5,000 each.
Today, Zerker is spending $15, so Tess can spend a day with the sheep. Zerker lives in a Portland suburb, but she says the 2.5-hour drive is worth it. Zerker says as soon as she got Tess around sheep, it was clear that this dog was born to herd.
It was actually really interesting. I carried her into a packed pen, and she had them all in the corner just by looking at them. It was just impressive to me.
Zerker says Tess's behavior has improved a lot since she started herding. Sylvia Grigg says Fido's farm now gets more than a dozen customers like Zerker a day.
Basically, it's all word of mouth. You know, we do very little advertising about the herding.
Other breeds can herd, too. Standard poodles, Rottweilers, and Rhodesian Ridgebacks all have a knack for it, apparently. But if your dog doesn't have a natural herding instinct, Fido's Farm gives lessons for $35 a pop. In Olympia, Washington, I'm Ann Dornfeld for Marketplace.
And finally, just ahead of a big February unemployment report coming out on Friday, CareerBuilder.com has come out with its list of things to avoid doing if you want to get hired. There were quite a few reports of the basic no-nos, chewing gum during an interview and dressing inappropriately. But then they listed some of the most outlandish things Career Builder did on a resume. One applicant wrote she was not a gypsy on her resume. Another labeled God as a reference, but didn't include a phone number. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
That whole thing about reducing dependence on foreign oil, it's been around for a while.
Let us set as our national goal that by the end of this decade, we will have developed the potential to meet our own energy needs without depending on any foreign energy sources.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the great pipeline dream, next time on Marketplace from APM. That's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.